Of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jackie Cazares was a little girl with a big heart. Her father said his little girl was full of life and touched so many people. Jackie was the one, he said, who would often go out of her way to help others. And it gave him some comfort that she might be that little cracker that might have done something to help her classmates. Just 2 weeks ago, Jackie made her first communion. A picture shows her standing in front of the altar, an altar much like ours right here. Standing there in her first communion dress, beaming and smiling. She was 10 years old. And I can't help but recall that joyous day right here, only 3 weeks ago, when 38 of our own young children made their first communion and stood in front of our altar, posing for their pictures, smiling, so full of life, so full of love. Jackie was just one of the 19 children and two adults whose futures were snuffed out by a young man with a gun this past Tuesday morning. And I know we all have questions. What is happening to us? Why is this happening to our children? Why is there so much hate and division, so much loneliness, sadness, depression, and despair? Why do so many of our young men feel compelled to act out in such evil and violent ways? And through our own anger and tears, we look up to God and cry out for answers. And like you, my heart breaks when I see so much senseless suffering and death. Like you, I get angry that this type of evil works to attack the most innocent among us. And like you, I want this fixed. I want our government, our leaders, to fix this. And I want God to fix this. Stop the indiscriminate killing of our innocent children. Most of you know me. A few of you here have known me my whole life. And so you know I'm not some super brainiac who can even pretend to have the answers we seek this morning. But I think I am smart enough to know that there's only one person that has those answers, and that certainly is our Lord and Savior. Only He has the answers. Only He has the power to heal our world. And He's the one that we're here to honor today. And brothers and sisters, I think if we admit it, He has already given us all the answers we need. Like the apostles in our first reading, we must look up to heaven. And then, like the apostles, we must look at the world around us and realize we have work to do. Unfortunately, the world around us is filled with more and more people who never seem to look up. And if you never look up, it's really hard to have hope. You can never know forgiveness, never know true divine love, and you become a person of despair, just like our 18-year-old shooter. The ascension of our Lord is a vivid reminder where true hope may be found. Our modern society ignores faith and loses sight of hope because it looks not upward. It looks downward. We all tend to focus on our own frustrations, our failings, our own selfish desires, while ignoring God's greater plan for us and for our world. This so-called navel-gazing is epidemic in our 21st century, resulting in widespread despair and loss of purpose. And people need hope. We must have hope. People, all people, need to look heavenward. For many years now, there's been a push to replace religion with secularism and faith with popular rationale. And I'm here to say this effort seems to have been a stunning failure, and that has fed the hate, division, and violence we see so often among us today. Ignoring God, Holy Scripture, and the importance of faith has left a nation of empty souls desperately searching for hope and for meaning. The vacuum left in people's lives by the collapse of faith is quickly filled by none other than Satan himself. And he offers fake and harmful remedies, things like guns, sex, alcohol, drugs. He uses the internet to encourage a multitude of ungodly thoughts, actions, and opportunities. In the absence of hope, faith, and meaning, so many are compelled to find any reason at all to feel alive. And their search may lead to ever more dangerous and destructive actions. The search for salvation has been replaced by the search for any feeling, anything to feel the void in their darkened souls. Too many of us choose to ignore the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." Trying to fill the emptiness within, far too many people behave as they are their own gods. They can redefine their sexuality, their right to be addicts, their right to harm themselves, and any others who might disagree with them. A godless world is a dangerous jungle filled with unfeeling predators, leaving more and more innocent victims in their wake. Our society's rejection of God and salvation is a focus on self and the right to redefine reality and the assertion of earthly values over spiritual values. These things allow evil to flourish among us. And if we're going to change the trajectory of all this darkness, suffering, and death, we must be prepared to bring God back into our public dialogue. We must bring forth Christian values and ideals that many will just not want to hear. But only God can vanquish depression and despair. Only God in His great love can restore hope, the kind of hope that allows love and joy to flourish. Just a moment ago, Jesus told us, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." He was speaking to us, all of us, no exceptions. Yet those words spoken so forcefully by our God who loves us and has redeemed us are so often ignored or forgotten once we leave this holy space. The main problem with most Catholics today is that we give in to the temptation to accommodate, to compromise, to just get along and fit in. And then we try to feel good about it. We put diversity above truth because it seems so much more comfortable that way. We place the individual above the common good because then we can also do what we want. We can do things our way. We put tolerance above genuine love, hope, justice, and charity because it seems so much more peaceful to manage our differences that way. And the problem with that approach is it does nothing to foster conversion within us or within others. In fact, it just does the opposite. It provides people with alibis that suck away their faith. For when people really believe in something, they speak up, they stand fast, and yes, they take action. When we Catholics move to follow the current culture and join the mainstream of American life, we become just like everyone else. We stop working to become holy and set aside. We abandon who we really are. If I remember, the word holy literally means other than or different from the world around us. And we need each other to be on fire with faith. And we get that fire only when we give ourselves fully and generously to God, when we center our lives in God, when we seek to become holy, just as God is holy. And that, my friends, is what Jesus is asking of us today. To be his holy witnesses to the ends of the earth. And it takes great courage and great conviction to speak the truth that very few seem to want to hear. So today our challenge is to look upward, to stop the navel gazing, speak up, share the love, mercy, and hope, and peace that is our Catholic faith. I know you love your children. Do it for them and for all the children the world over. Bring the Jesus Christ you know to others. With God's grace, we can pass on to our children a better world, a world where love will push aside all darkness, a world where every heart and soul is filled with hope, a world where all will know how much God loves them, a God that is always by their side. So today, yes, we pray for the souls of all those who have died. And we pray for all parents and families whose lives have been shattered by evil violence. And we pray, maybe even more so, for all who have lost hope. And we pray for ourselves, that we may always look up and then find the courage and conviction to openly share our faith with our world. A priest who was ministering to the shooting victims and the family members in Texas visited a little girl whose face was still bleeding. He asked her what was on her heart, and she simply replied, "My friends, only my friends." Even as she suffered, she was thinking of others. And we've heard it before. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. Brothers and sisters, we continue our Easter journey for another week as we look toward the great feast of Pentecost. And we must remind ourselves that despite it all, God is with us. His love and mercy are upon us, and hope always abounds. For we know he is risen. We know love is alive. Hallelujah.